Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks Presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case. Olivia, my friend, my co-host, it's good to have you back. I missed you for the Monday episode, so I'm glad that you're here. It's good to see you. How you been? How's your week been? What's been going on?
Well, it's been pretty good, you know, just getting ready to go on vacation, doing what do best, vacation.
Where are you going this time?
I am going to the great island of Curacao.
Mm. All right.
Need a geography lesson?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so there's the ABC Islands, Aruba, Bonaire, Curacao. They are just quite north of Venezuela. They are Dutch islands.
Oh.
So Caribbean, Venezuela. Basically.
Okay. I'd know Aruba, Bahamas.
Come on, pretty mama.
In my head, I was like,
Montego.
How do you spell Curacao? But I'm not even going to get into that because.
Well, the special letter, I don't know what that letter is, but somebody
in there. Is there in there somewhere, a couple dots over some letters?
No, it's more of like a hanging, looks like a Q, but not a Q.
Okay. No, I don't know what that one is either. So yeah.
I don't either.
Well, I'm going to miss you. For our listeners out there, the next couple episodes, because Olivia is going to be out of time, are going to be some short on time episodes. We're going to have one that she may just kind of be phoning in. So, you know, the next probably 3 to 4 episodes are going to be a little shorter. But, you know, again, just wrapping up the summer and getting that travel in. And then we'll be back to normal. So, got to make sure you get time in to get your relaxation and your travel on and all that. So,
yeah, all the kids are going back to school. It's time for me to go on vacation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's when Olivia wants to go to the Caribbean, when she's like, when there's no children there. So. Put those little bastards back in school. I'm going to the beach.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I am super glad to have you back. This week is your case. So what do you say? Should we quit the Gabby Gabby, get to the Stabby Stabby, go ahead and jump on into it?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
16-year-old Lori Sho was preparing for her senior year when her life was brutally cut short in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. On the morning of December 20th, 1991, Lori's mother, Hazel Sho, discovered her daughter was lying on the bedroom floor of their home, her throat slit and body riddled with more than 24 defensive wounds. In those final moments, Lori managed to whisper just 3 words, "Michelle did it." This would later shape the focus of the investigation. Investigators quickly homed in on 3 suspects, Lisa Michelle Lambert and Tabitha Buck, both classmates of Lori's. They also focused on Lawrence Butch Yunkin, Lori's ex-boyfriend. Evidence showed Lisa had been consumed by jealousy after Lori dated Butch. It didn't help that Lori had accused Butch of rape, a claim that would further fuel Lisa's resentment. Lori had endured weeks of stalking and threats. Witnesses reported that Lisa repeatedly vowed to scare, kidnap, or kill her. And the harassment extended beyond school. Lisa appeared at Lori's workplace. Lisa and Tabitha would taunt Lori in public settings like the mall and at school events. On that fateful morning, Tabitha Buck called Lori's mother, pretending to be a school counselor and prompting her to leave the house. That cleared the path for Lisa and Tabitha to enter the residence. Prosecutors alleged that Tabitha restrained Lori while Lisa inflicted the fatal stab wounds and slit her throat. Meanwhile, Butch was waiting nearby. He later admitted to helping dispose of evidence by throwing out their bloody clothes. Evidence at the scene supported the prosecution's account, from scratch marks found on Tabitha, makeup belonging to Lori in her purse, and the murder weapon. Police arrested all three suspects later that day at a local bowling alley. In the ensuing trial, Butch agreed to testify in exchange for a reduced charge. He pleaded guilty to third-degree murder. Tabitha was tried as a minor as she was 17 years old and convicted of second-degree murder. Lisa was found guilty of first-degree murder and conspiracy. Both women received life sentences without the possibility of parole. However, years later, Lisa Lambert's conviction was briefly overturned by a federal judge in 1997. This was due to a prosecutorial misconduct, including suppression of evidence. However, this decision was overturned in 1998 by the Third Circuit Court, reinstating her conviction. Tabitha Buck's case was later affected by a Supreme Court ruling on juvenile sentencing. She was resentenced and granted parole in December of 2019. After nearly 28 years behind bars, she was released under strict conditions prohibiting contact with Lori's family. Now, in the wake of her daughter's tragic and violent death, Hazel Show turned her grief into advocacy. She became a prominent voice in Pennsylvania's fight against stalking, and her efforts were instrumental in passing Lori's Law in 1993, a law that enacts stronger statewide stalking protections. So that's this week's case, John. What'd you think?
Man, these ones always kind of hit me hard, especially, you know, my kid's going into first grade. You know what I mean? So I think about, yeah, how my sisters were and how girls in high school were. You know what I mean? And I know that they can be very catty
bitches.
Yes. I don't know if I'm allowed to call women bitches. So, but, you know, it's just a time where people's hormones are raging and everybody wants to be, you know, the top whatever, you know, the most popular, the most like sought after. And so it's just always sad because at the end of the day, Lori Show lost her life. And then, you know, there was two other girls who basically gave theirs up by committing the crimes they committed, you know, which they definitely should have been sentenced to the sentence that they received. I'm not, you know, excusing it or anything like that, but it's just at the end of the day, it's sad for everybody because now, you know, you have a child who's dead and then two other children who are behind bars because of some teenage drama stuff. I feel like we've done a lot of cases, you know, in the past 3+ years where, you know, we see this happen. And then there's part of me that just wishes, you know, like their older self could just tell them like, hey, man, like, this is going to pass and everything's going to be fine and you'll have a new Buck Youngkin or in a couple of years, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, it's just sad all the way around. Then, you know, I, again, as a parent, I cannot imagine what Hazel Show must have been feeling, you know, coming home to see what she saw and have to see her daughter there, you know? And I did want to just clarify, right? So, we referred to her as Lisa throughout the case, but mm-hmm. It's Lisa Michelle, right? Yeah. That's, okay.
Yeah.
Just for the listeners out there, I just want to make sure because I know we heard Michelle in the beginning and make sure we knew exactly who we were talking about. But yeah, it's just sad overall. I mean, what about you? What were you thinking?
Yeah, I just, you know, going back to the early 90s, it just seems like life was more simple then. And maybe it wasn't. I was just a young tot. But I feel like being a 90s kid, life was just simple. You know, you were just a kid. You played outside. You did all the things. And so to think that teenagers were that unruly and hateful then makes me feel like there's not a lot of hope for society today if teenagers were able to kill in 1991. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is something that probably goes back as far as
forever, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm sure there was, you know, teenage cave people.
There's evil everywhere.
Yeah. I do think, like, from a bullying, because that's the thing that really solidified this case in time for me, when you were like, they were bullying her at the mall, you know, and now kids would be like, what is the mall? Yeah. Like, oh, you said go to a store to buy stuff. You didn't just use Amazon. You know what I mean? So right. I think that aspect of it, of like, you know, going to the mall and just hanging out because there was nothing to do. I remember doing that as a kid, but you know, that's not the world that we live in now, but the world we live in now makes it way easier to engage with people instantly. And, you know, online bullying and harassment can go from one person to 1,000 people in, you know, an hour, you know what I mean? So it, like I said, it's just sad to see, you know, kids who have their whole life left and are just like, I'm going to throw it away in this one instant. You know, it's just, it bums me out.
Yeah, because it's like any relationship, it gets better. You know, when you're in high school, you think you're in love, and, you know, whether or not Butch raped her is one thing. Like, we don't know all the details of that, but it's just sad to know that something so small turns out to be a loss of life when you could have just moved on and eventually y'all wouldn't be friends in a few years. So it's just sad.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that something good came out of it and that the law was passed. I always like when good things happen from a bad 100%. Situation.
It's also one of those things too. Like, I dated the same girl all 4 years. Well, I dated the same girl from eighth grade all 4 years of high school. So we dated for like 5 years. And I remember being like a sophomore, being like, I'm going to marry this girl and we're going to have babies. And you know what I mean? Like, my life when I was a junior or senior in high school was like, oh, I know what's going to happen. And like, thank God it didn't.
Yeah, jokes on you.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, but in that moment, you know, that was like my whole world, because you're so young and your world's so small. Oh, yeah. you know,
we've all been there.
Yeah. So, but yeah, if we're talking about deadbolt tests, I think something like this, maybe it shouldn't hit as high for me, but I'm definitely going to put this at a 7, because I can't help but thinking about, you know, my kid is going to be a teenage girl someday, and she's going to interact with other teenage girls. And like I said, bullying and all that has only gotten easier. Mm-hmm. I do think as a society, right, like, I'm hoping that their generation is more, you know, kind of like they are with like the drinking and substance abuse.
They don't do that.
Yeah. Gen Z is way. Yeah. Gen Z drinks way less than, you know, millennials, and millennials drink way less than the generation in front of us. But
I mean, speaking of drinking, you don't have your beer tonight.
No, tonight I'm drinking a unsweet tea from Gold Peaks. So, no, but you know, it's just one of those things where I hope the world continues to get better on that front. But it's you know, it's just scary, you know, thinking about what kids are capable of doing to each other when you have a kid. So yeah. I'd put this at a 7. What about you?
I'm just going to put this one at a 5. Nothing too crazy, nothing too scary, but yeah, I don't like when it's just a senseless loss of life is what this one is for me.
Yeah. Oh, it is for sure a bummer. But that is where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's case. Olivia's coming in at a 5. I'm going a little bit higher to 7, but as always, we want to hear from you, the listeners, the locksmiths, our people. Where does the murder of Lori Show fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. If you're not in our Facebook group, well, what in the gee holly gosh darn heck of a potato are you doing? Come hang out with us. We would love to have you as part of our community. If you're interested in joining the Facebook group, there is a link to the group in the description of the episode that you're listening to right now. Click it, answer a few questions. Boom, you're part of the best community on the internet. So we'd love to have you. And as always, if you like what we do, you want to help financially support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, stickers, coffee mugs. Plus, you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you want to help us out? That's patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. And as always, if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out with us, and sharing this podcast with your friends, family, people who are important to you means just as much, if not more. So if that's you, if you're listening and you're encouraging others to listen, just know that we appreciate it more than we could ever tell you. That's all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure you're subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.